I got the mic now. It's on. Psalm 119, verse 73. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first section, which is the Hebrew letter Yod, and that means all eight verses begin with that letter Yod in the original. Notice the psalmist first says that thy hands have made me and fashioned me. So he acknowledges God's creatorship over him. Then he makes an application of that, which is a very important application. He says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And can I say it this way? Who is more uniquely qualified than God, our Maker, to give us understanding? The answer to that question is no one. Very often, however, we think we know better. But the psalmist disparages that kind of understanding and says, to the Lord, thou hast made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So there is a particular kind of beholding that we have to God, that we turn to him for understanding because he has made us and because he's fashioned us. It would be like saying, some of you, you know, you like to work on your cars and you have a vehicle at home, and you know, I mean, think of the guy that has the 1960, we used to like the 69 Mustang, so that's the one I'll use. The 1969 Mustang in his garage, and he works on it, and he never consults the manual. Well, it's not a profitable procedure. I know better. No, you don't. So we consult the Lord because he's made us. All right, so then in 74, verse 74 and following, and we'll see this in the other two sections as well, the psalmist posits the remedy for affliction, the remedy for persecution, the remedy for troubles. He posits that in the Word of God. Right? They that fear me, fear thee, will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. First of all, there is a particular community that the people of God have. Those of us who hope in his word, we have a particular gladness, a particular closeness, a particular relationship that belongs to us who hope in the word of God. Then notice, I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That's different. That's a different consideration than most folks carry. It's the faithfulness of God that afflicts us. That's what the psalmist says. Normally what we hear in Christian circles is that God's faithfulness means we're never afflicted. Not so here with the psalmist. All right, so then notice, let thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. And notice that for the psalmist, there is no disparity, there is no disconcerting antithesis between the law and God's mercy. Right? So often we hear about the law of God that it is opposed to grace. No, it's not opposed to grace. It is in particular senses, but not in its totality. The law and grace sweetly comply in the gospel. Of course, this is what he means when he says mercy and truth, right? All right, so then, let those that fear thee turn unto me, those that have known thy testimonies. Once again, there is the community between the saints, and let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And here he prays for the foundation of the inner man being given over to God's word. The Christian religion, do not ever forget, is a religion of the heart. It is a religion that begins in the inside and works its way to the outside, or ought to have its foundation on the inside, working to the outside. All right, so then in the next section, which is Kaf, excuse me, no, it's not that kind of cough. It's the Hebrew letter, cough. Okay, so over and again, we will see this. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? So the psalmist posits or sets forth the word of God as the remedy for fainting, as the remedy for affliction, as the object of his hope. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Well, to us 21st century folk, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You think of this glass bottle hanging in a smokehouse all covered over in ash. Well, we shouldn't think that way. We should think of a leather bottle. They didn't have glass in those days. Right? So what they kept liquids in was a leather bottle, maybe, I know, a little bit gross maybe, but intestine bottles, you know. Parts of animals, skin. And what happens if you take that nice leather wine flask that, you know, we sometimes use for decoration in our day, not a necessity, but decoration. What happens if you set that in the smoke? What happens if it goes through a fire? What happens to it? It becomes dry and brittle. This is what he means when he says, I am like a bottle in the smoke. I am dried up. When wilt thou comfort me? I am like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. You see that? So that the remedy then, the hedge against being consumed. Notice afflictions are not, there is no promise here concerning that we will never be afflicted. We may be like a bottle in the smoke. But it is at those times particularly that we ought to find our comfort in God's word. All right, so then notice all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, notice, but I forsook not thy precepts. And the inference of the psalmist here is very, very dear to us, isn't it? He says, they had almost consumed me, but I did not forsake thy precepts. In other words, complete consumption would be to forsake the precepts of God, to forsake the word of God. What can they do to you? Well, they can do a lot. They can injure you. They can take away your stuff. They can deprive you. They can take your houses and lands away. They can take your daily food and they can give you rags to wear. They can take away your freedom and they can throw you in jail. They can do all kinds of things against you. But notice what they can never do. They can never take God's word from you. And what does the psalmist say? They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Because when you have the precepts of God, you have what you need. You have that which gives life. You cannot be consumed. And so in Matthew chapter 10, our Lord Jesus writes what? Or he says what? Matthew writes, Jesus says what? He says, don't be afraid of those. Do not fear those that kill the body. After that, there's nothing that they can do to you. Fear him rather, who is able to cast body and soul into hell. In other words, fear God. Do not forsake his precepts. Okay? So then the last section, beginning in verse 89, this is the section Lamed. That's the L sound in the Hebrew language. The faithfulness of the Lord as expressed in his word is this section here. Notice he says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You remember the time when Jeremiah was with Baruch and he dictated something to Baruch and Baruch wrote it all down? And he brought it, Baruch brought it to the nobles and the nobles read it and they said, wow, the king needs to hear this. And so they came to the king and Baruch was there and the nobles were there and they read it in the presence of the king. And before they got all the way through what Jeremiah had written, the king grabbed it up, cut it with a penknife, and threw it in the fire. There goes the word of God. It's gone. No. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so Baruch went back to Jeremiah and said, did you hear what the king did? Jeremiah said, yes, sit down. And so he dictated again all of those same words, and the scriptures tell us added more words to those words. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is not ink shapes on a page. These things are that which flows from God's mind to ours via the means of that written word and the illumination of the Spirit of God. So it is then. Since God's word is forever settled in heaven, it's not going anywhere. We ought to know it. We ought to study it. We ought to memorize it. We ought to live by it. That's the point. God's word transcends the earth. It is settled in heaven. Now notice, the faithfulness of the Lord is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. This speaks of the great sovereignty of God over the entire created order. And servants there is used in its broadest possible connection. Right? The word servant has a wide semantic range. Here it is used in its widest semantic range possible, such that even the moon and the stars, those kinds of heavenly entities, are brought into the purview of God's service. They all serve him. The entirety of the created order serves God. God makes use of all these things. And we remember that creation serves the purposes of redemption. Why has God created the world and everything in it? That he may redeem a people to himself. And so creation serves redemption. So why are there signs in the heavens? Why are there signs in the earth beneath? Why do floods rise and rain comes and sun shines and so on? Why do all these things take place? Because the Lord directs them so. And he directs them to a particular end, that he may glorify himself in the salvation of his elect through Jesus Christ. Creation serves redemption. All right, then, notice, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Once again, the word of God is set forth as the remedy for affliction, as the remedy for trouble. If you are in trouble, if you are afflicted, if you are sad, if you are put to the worse, if you are, you believe, persecuted, and so on, the remedy is found in God's word. The remedy is found in trusting in what God has said against your current perceptions. And then finally, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Really, I think the but there, see, it's italicized. I think it should be, and thy commandment is exceeding broad. The end of all perfection is the sum total of what the Lord's word teaches us. What is the term of communion, or what are the terms of communion with heaven? Nothing other than a perfect keeping of those commandments, the end of all perfection. The breadth of God's law, listen, it knows no bounds. It regulates, it is universal in that it regulates every area of our lives, thoughts, words, deeds. Thus ends the reading then of Psalm 119, 73 through 96. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.